Oi, lads, did you miss out on the Jaren's Outpost Kickstarter and wish you weren't such a big doofus? Well, fear not. Late pledges are now open and they'll be open for a little while. So just head to Kickstarter, search for D&Ds for Nerds or Jaren's Outpost and slam that late pledge button.
Na, noch keine Pläne fürs Wochenende? Besucht die Rotkäppchen-Erlebniswelt in Freiburg mit euren Mädels, der Oma oder dem Knallertypen von nebenan. Wir lieben alle Jahrgänge. Entdeckt unsere interaktive Ausstellung bei der Erlebnistour mit Audioguide und einem Glas Sekt und genießt im Pavillon die ganze Welt von Rotkäppchen. Die Rotkäppchen-Erlebniswelt, nur eine Sektlänge entfernt.
Though you may not see water for miles around, you can consider yourself trapped. The mists that encircle us are like prison walls. And who is the warden of this prison, you ask? None other than the wonderful, the terrible, the powerful Baron Strahd von Tsarevich. And the only way to leave this place is to kill him or die.
You're an idiot, Pip. I say as I take a step into the snowbank.
You don't step into the snowbank. You step back into Barovia.
You're perhaps the dumbest man alive.
Ah! Ah! Sitting on the top of a building, a raven. It takes flight westward, which you know is the direction of the Blue Water Inn.
I bring up my hands to my snout, and I start rubbing furrows. I start rubbing enough to make fire, and I march toward the Blue Water Inn.
As you open the doors to the Blue Water Inn... No, you actually don't get to the Blue Water Inn.
Mm-hmm.
En route to the Blue Water Inn, you are intercepted by Danica.
Danny, I say. Danica. How does she look?
Danica, it looks... You can see there are clear marks down her face where she has been crying recently, but she isn't crying now.
Okay.
She, looking at you, she, at first, you don't read the expression on her face.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you get closer, you see she very nearly is about to cry again. But stamping that down, she grabs you. And once again, you're not 100%. You may be flinched.
Yeah, flinch. Yeah.
She grabs you and drags you in to a tight hug. And then it's like the dam bursts. She starts sobbing and wailing into your shoulder.
I'm so sorry, Danny. I'm so sorry. He should have let me be squished.
The dim...
How comforting.
The dim light of day does little to change the surface of Lake Tsarevich. A black sheen surface stretches towards the horizon, but does not end at it. At the lake's edge, a man standing up could easily see trees on the opposite edge, stretching up to the top of Mount Baratok.
Best not to waste daylight.
Keening's voice breaks the silence and causes ripples to cascade across the water's surface.
Cribbit, can you take point on this one?
Elaniel, Keening, Iona, and Marquillet watch as the little frogman waddles over to the edge of the water. Sticking his head beneath the surface, they continue to watch with curiosity, turning to concern until...
The coast is clear.
Elaniel gives a nod of assent to each member of the party as she hands a leaf. Place it on your tongue. Bite down, but do not chew. One by one, they do as commanded. Then, the entire group begins walking across the water's surface as if it were solid ground. Every now and then... The group stops as either Cribbit or Elaniel searches below or above the water for problems. None show themselves. Marquillet speaks. Does anyone else think this is... Don't. Eventually, the quintet reaches what feels like the center of the lake. Keening, giving the area one more look, nods at Elaniel.
You and Cribbit head down.
Then he hands them both one end of his lasso.
One pull will haul you up. Two pulls... We'll come down and get you.
Elaniel smiles at him and nods back. The unspoken understanding of how impossible them coming down remains unspoken. Then she turns to Iona. The two embrace, exchanging a kiss and a few words of encouragement. Come back up to me. Cribbit and Elaniel hold their breath and spit the leaves out of their mouths. In an instant, they slip beneath the waves. Danica half drags, half is carried by you back into the Blue Water Inn. You can see sitting around the table are a bunch of familiar faces, just locals of Valakai, mm-hmm. and a bunch of less familiar faces as well, new folks who have come through.
Okay.
Danica moves around behind the bar. Once again, well, she seems still a little unsteady on her feet. She uses the bar a bit to steady herself, and then she pours both of you she reaches up for the nice wine, and she pours both of you a glass. The others will be returning soon. They have a Pirin from Ravenloft has said he would send word of Hector's condition.
Okay. Everyone's all right? Everybody's okay?
Yes. Everyone...
Of course,
everyone still is fine. The lodestone in the lake was destroyed, without issue. But Tarpos, she is Archdruid now. Tarpos marches east with a host of druids. Elaniel is worried that they might have hostile intent against her or the Dusk Elves.
That could be the... Yes.
Peace is current, but tenuous. The Dusk Elves always and Valakai are still not friends, but Keening has been keeping the peace as best as he can.
I suppose if there's one more lodestone and Iona and Elaniel have been destroying them and Tarpos always wanted them cleansed, maybe she's trying to do something about it. But also, I don't know if that strikes me as particularly Tarpos. Is there a tree outside, Adam?
Yeah, probably.
Pip might be about to do something very embarrassing.
Give me a second. I step outside the Blue Water Inn and put a hand on the tree.
Danica, standing at the back door, which is the one that you went out to get to the tree, Danica watches as you put your hand on the tree. What else do you do?
Tarpos?
Nothing happens.
It's Pip. Hello?
Nothing happens.
I'll turn back to Danny. Sometimes this works. It worked for Hector.
Right.
Because he is the trees, kind of, so you can...
Do they cast a spell when they do it?
I don't know.
Right.
Probably. Hey, I take my hand away from the tree. Probably, yes, they cast some kind of...
Right, yeah.
...spell. Just, I thought maybe she... Now that she's Archdruid, she might always be listening, but I guess not. Never mind, that was embarrassing. We go back in and drink my drink.
That's delicious. Some of the best wine you've ever had. This is sort of like, 50 gold a glass type wine. It's very nice.
How does it compare to the mead I had?
It's even compared to the mead, it's pretty good. Okay. Actually, it's a Wizard of Wines wine.
Okay.
And even, at its worst, the Wizard of Wines wines were pretty good, even by non-Barovian standards.
Yeah. I like realizing it's a Wizards of Wine. I like finish it, but I'm like, no more. Save that for a special occasion.
It's open now. Well, it's either drunk or goes to waste.
I guess, Danny.
She pours you, and she's pouring heavy glasses as well. Danica, you feel like your relationship with Danica is probably, right now, is probably the best it's been since about a year ago.
I swallow a lot of, not my pride, but a lot of emotions down. And I do a thing that's extremely hard for Pip. Tell me about him. Let's talk about him.
Erwin?
Yeah. Let's chat about him. What kind of a guy was he? How did you meet? Let's start with that.
We met. He is, we met here in Valakai. His family, he is one of the Martikovs I married in. It was quite some time, if you ask him, before he told me of the were-ravens. But if you asked the rest of the family, he rushed in.
Mm.
But they are slow to accept people and to... They try to be careful where they can. Secrecy. Well, yeah.
Of course. Why him?
Why him?
Yeah. Why him? You were an eligible bachelorette, Danica, I remember.
For the same reason, Pip, that you choose many of the men you choose. They make you feel like a better person.
Yeah. Yeah. I once told somebody that my heart was kind of like a locked vault, but I'm beginning to think that vault has pretty terrible security.
Danica continues on. It was a whirlwind romance. We were young teenagers. He was not allowed to leave Valakai. It is dangerous, even more so for our kind. And I was a rebellious youth. I was allowed to leave Valakai. My parents did not mind, so long as I did not stray too far from the city walls, but I heard that he was not allowed outside the walls, and I, on our second date, I, not tricked, she laughs.
I smile.
But he did not realize where we were until it was too late.
I see.
And then, you know, once we're outside the walls.
No prying eyes, yeah.
Well, it takes, you know, once we're outside the walls, the prying eyes disappear at the forest line.
Mm.
It was a nice night, sitting underneath the tree canopy, trying to guess at what stars looked like. We tried to do it every year, to just find a place somewhere quiet where we can guess at the stars. So we see the moon well enough, as you're aware, and we always used to, at the new moon, when the night is the darkest, that is the time when we would almost feel like we could see the stars. He was very, she swallows, he was very hopeful like that. Saw the best in people, I think. And I think you know.
Yeah, I do.
He was brave.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, God willing, Danica, maybe you'll see the stars for real one day. I can point out the constellations I know.
At the funeral.
Yeah.
I said a similar sentiment that as we go through this life, we are like a statue slowly crumbling, but it is not a bad thing. As we pass other people, we give pieces of ourselves to them, and they give pieces of them to us. And I feel like the hope I feel, not just of the stars, but of a free Barovia outside of the thumb of... And she does the gesture for Strahd.
I do it too.
A free Barovia is... That hope of mine is his. I suppose even on the darkest of nights, the stars I saw were him.
That's beautiful, Danny, I say. And if Hector's doing his job, God's willing, you'll see him every night when you look into the sky.
Danica nods softly. The doors open.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the crew... Oh, Tiny has been following you this entire time. Just letting you know.
Makes me so nervous.
Third glass of wine.
Yeah,
Tiny's like...
Funny little insect mandibles.
The doors open, mm-hmm. and everyone else spills in. Keening, who was the first in... Keening actually maybe got in maybe a full minute before everyone else. The doors spill open... And sorry, yeah, Keening bursts in. Everyone else takes a little bit longer.
My hand grips on the countertop, like in nervousness.
Keening rushes over to you and he grabs you and does the exact same thing Danica did. He grabs you and brings you in for a big bear hug.
I hug back and I bury my face in his chest.
He doesn't cry, but you feel his eyes are wet as he presses his face against yours.
How long's it been?
It's been 3 months, Pippi.
Fuck. I came back, though. I said I would.
He pulls back, and now you visibly see... He's once again, it's not full waterworks, mm-hmm. but his eyes are very wet-looking as he looks down at you. You can see the scar that he got
yeah.
has mostly healed at this point.
He looks you up and down, and patting you on either side, he says, "You look good, Pippi. You look good."
Is there anything in those words?
Not yet. I was scared.
Yeah. Me too, if I'm honest.
I considered leaving myself, trying to search for you.
Oh, don't. That's not worth it. Don't do that.
Pippi, you're worth it.
Oh, fuck. Fuck, dude.
Everyone else spills in. You see, they... no, yeah. Eleniel sits down at the table. Tiny's sitting at a table. Eleniel sits down next to Tiny, and there's maybe like a carafe of water. Carafe? There's a jug of water there. Yeah. She pours herself a water, and Eleniel gives you a little, like, toast as you, as you're looking at everyone. She gives you a little toast. Cribbit takes off his hat and does, like, a big bow when you look over at him. And Iona, you can see, is standing behind... Eleniel? Iona and Mark Willett, actually, are standing behind Keening, waiting for their turn to hug you.
Oh, God. The lodestone, I say. Is it gone?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Muriel is here. No, Muriel is not here, actually. Okay. Sorry. Sorry, you continue?
I like kind of to brush past. Nobody should tell Pippi's worth it. That's I got so many defenses up against that exact line of inquiry. The lodestone, is it cleared, destroyed?
Eleniel is the one who answers. It is destroyed.
Okay.
I think Tarpos perhaps is mad about it.
Yes, Danny was saying that she's coming with an army.
Well.
That seems, I mean.
She's coming with all the druids that are left.
Right, sure, yes.
Eleniel gives like a dark smile about that.
Sure. But does that seem like Tarpos? That doesn't seem like Tarpos to me.
They march this way.
Vindictive.
They march this way. We know not their intent. That is all.
I tried talking to a tree and I couldn't get through to her. I don't know if.
If you want, I can contact Tarpos if you wish to talk to her. She refuses to speak to me.
I think we should just find out her intentions. If she's coming to attack, I gestured to you, to Eleniel. If she's coming to attack you, then we should know about it. And if she's going to attack anybody else, we should know about that too.
Very well. Muriel could not be here. She is heading off to see Pirin. We must speak of that as well, and of what Hector has done in Castle Ravenloft.
Dragonborn face does not convey this expression, but
it's like
a very thin-lipped, straight mouth.
It's like when Muppets make their faces as like horizontal as possible.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
What did he do?
Hector. You, after your awareness of Pip re-entering, you feel that dagger withdraw as the hole seals itself back up, and then that visage of a man stabbing you disappears. Would you follow Pip? What would you want to do?
I guess so in a way of just like, you know, curiosity to see like where he's going, that kind of stuff. But, after a while, I guess, you know, go back to myself.
You realize you've been doing this all night. The sun has risen. It's daytime.
Am I tired?
You feel like you should be tired, but you don't feel tired. You don't feel the desire to go to bed other than the, like, you know how you're like, oh, I'm not tired, but maybe I should be in bed?
Yeah.
You don't feel, you feel that. You're like, I feel like I should have gone to bed, but also I don't feel sleepy.
Okay. All right. Cool. Not sleepy, not hungry, good. How far away from like Castle Ravenloft is that encampment of, I guess, Kandor?
It's not terribly far. You could walk over there now if you wanted.
I was like, could I have flown if I wanted to?
You could fly, yeah. It's a minute of flying, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, as the quote-unquote crow, or shall we say Hector, flies, you could get there in about a minute.
Yeah, that'd be the quickest way down there. Plus, it'll make an entrance.
Yeah.
Hector, you attempt to call upon your wings and none form.
Oh, what happens?
What happens? Yeah. Oh, I guess like if you force it, if you're, so there's something there, But when you call it as wings, it doesn't work. When you try forcing it, it reacts, but not in the way you were expecting. Radiant light spills forth from your eyes and mouth. You this doesn't harm the stonework, but you can see a searing, like a it's like someone power washed part of the castle.
Okay.
Yeah, if someone had been standing there, they would have taken radiant damage.
That's very funny.
Stop that.
Yeah. You have this power instead now, Hector.
You're a walking man from now on. That's
yeah, you don't fly, you walk.
Yeah.
Okay.
You feel like, you're not 100% sure if this is some, like something has changed with your connection to Penia, or maybe this was Lady Borizzi turning you into a weapon.
Oh, no.
I head back down. Would I pass, like, say, any, like, guard servants, that kind of stuff,
absolutely,
on the way
yeah.
down to be like...
Castle Ravenloft's alive with people. Okay. I cannot... You pass people all the time.
All right, I just want to, like, grab one of them. Could you please send up a very large mug of coffee and some... Do you have pastries?
Na, noch keine Pläne fürs Wochenende? Besucht die Rotkäppchen-Erlebniswelt in Freiburg mit euren Mädels, der Oma oder dem Knallertypen von nebenan. Wir lieben alle Jahrgänge. Entdeckt unsere interaktive Ausstellung bei der Erlebnistour mit Audioguide und einem Glas Sekt und genießt im Pavillon die ganze Welt von Rotkäppchen. Die Rotkäppchen-Erlebniswelt, nur eine Sektlänge entfernt.
Yes, we can do pastries for
and
you.
And some pastries.
What sort of pastry would you like?
What would she like? I don't know.
We have... Something and then sweet. The person like does this big sigh and you can see that they're about to hate what they have to say. We can do right now, because it is near midday. The chef at hand is a gnome. So we can do gnomish scrolls.
We can do gnomishes.
Obviously. Yeah. And then they just list like a bunch of different baked goods, but they're all gnome.
Yes, whatever it is you can grab. Just a couple of things. The sweetest thing you have.
The sweetest thing we have.
Yes, and a big jug of coffee.
I shall send that to your room.
Yes.
Very well.
Thank you very much. I head to Gretchen's room.
Okay. You head to Gretchen's room. But hang on, before you get there, you perception check. You turn a corner, Hector, and someone slams into you. It's a you can see some sort of like a not a bellhop, what do you call them? Like just a kid. Someone no older than like 13, who looks like they work here, maybe as like a chimney sweep or something like that. They're a bit sooty. Mm-hmm. As they bump into you, maybe like a small cloud of soot comes off them. Sorry.
That is all right.
They look around very quickly. Can you help me, please?
Sure, what is
you can hear? Need? Yeah, you can hear thum, 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 thum. Heavy footfalls running this way.
Yeah, sure, what do you need?
You can see they're cradling something in their arms. Take this. He hands you a small lockbox and then sprints past you.
I put the lockbox in a pocket, if I can fit it. Or I just, yeah.
One of the castle guards turns the corner. You can see the castle guard, he's taken his helmet off, and you can see it's like he's in a kind of a state of disarray. He looks almost half-dressed. His armor certainly is not placed on correctly, and he's not carrying a weapon with him right now.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen a small boy?
What did he do?
Thief! He's a little thief is what he is. You get a good boy card, and you clock there's a hesitation before the guard says thief, and you get the impression that thief is what he is being accused of, but not necessarily what he has done.
Okay. Thief? I describe like a boy, but he looked like he worked here.
Yes, he works here.
Right. He was a thief, you say?
He has stolen from me.
Do I still get the same, like...
Yeah. You feel like it's more complicated.
Stolen? I think there's a little thing you're not mentioning there.
if you do not mind me saying.
The god, you see he like brushes bright red. And then he says, Prah! And then he sprints past you.
I just call out like a different direction to where the kid went, basically.
Mm. That'll be a deception check. You trick him and he goes in the wrong direction. You head back to Gretchen's room?
Yeah.
Well, you head to Gretchen's room. You see, your room is next to Gretchen's room. Mm-hmm. You see that kid is waiting out the front of your door.
Hello. What did you take?
It was, the kid seems a little awkward about it, but you press him. He looks at you and he gets the impression that he can trust you. Mm. It was, some effects, personal effects of my mother.
Oh, right. Right.
That man was a stepfather of mine. My mother, his wife, passed away.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Recently.
I'm sorry to hear. Very sorry to hear.
Thank you. We disagree on who should own some of her old personal effects.
All right. Well, as the next of kin, I believe this is you. Hand the box.
Lockbox, yeah. The kid takes the box. Thank you.
No worries. Good luck, kid.
He nods, and then he wanders off with the box.
I knock on Gretchen's door.
There's no response.
Very gently, and I gently open the door.
The curtains have been dragged across. The room is as dark as it can be.
Mm-hmm.
You step in. You can see on her little side table, not side table, and there's like a little table where you would take meals. On that table, you can see there is someone has already brought in a tray with food and drink. You can see that the food and drink has not been touched.
Right.
Gretchen lies in bed, and as you open the door, she gives a big, and she rolls over to her other side.
How are you feeling, Gretchen?
Bad.
Yeah, so this,
you can also see there's a bucket next to her bed.
Good. This is a side effect, I think, of having too good a time. I once was told by a uncle that this is punishment for having, when you condense such a incredible night into, say, like a 4-hour period, the backlash sometimes hits like a horse in the face. May I recommend, drink as much water as you want. Strong coffee helps. I have some pastries coming up. You should have a little something.
I lowering my voice if like that it's at the start of that conversation.
I assume you were kind of already being gentle, but Gretchen nonetheless shushes you.
I'm being extremely gentle. If there's like a basin of water or something like that, I'll get a basin of water and I get like a towel, just dabbing her on the forehead. Just be like, you'll be okay in there. Yeah, a few hours.
There's a knock at the door.
I open the door.
Pirin, dressed as a waiter, is standing in the doorway. He has your food.
Thank you very much.
Time, instead of an elf, he, using makeup, has disguised himself to look a little bit more like a human. You can see part of it is like this pretty kind of ostentatious wig that is covering his horns.
Thank you very much. I will leave this in here for her. Then perhaps I have a few questions to ask you. If you want to step into my room.
Pirin nods and follows you into your room.
Lay down the thing to be like, you don't have to, of course, have any of this, but I recommend a little something. Call out if you need. I head to my room.
Pirin, looking at you. So, a few things. First off, I have sent letters as best as I can to the parties that we spoke of. Right. Second off, I have contacted the rest of the group.
Yes.
And Muriel has come with me. She wishes to speak to you.
Of course.
You'll have to meet her outside the castle grounds, though.
Yes, of course.
The group weren't happy when I informed them of what happened, but they understand that you are, you were under a bit of pressure, and also maybe they don't understand your full workings and whatnot.
Right. What did you tell them?
I think
them,
they just want people. Well, look, I guess it's partially. I suppose that's why Muriel's here. She is going to speak to you, and she's just going to. I think the group, the party. your generals just yes. want to know what you're doing
right,
and why, I suppose, so that they can, you know, enact your plan.
Right, of course. The Kandor army.
Yes.
We have them on site.
Sure, yes. I wandered down and had a little walk around this morning outside the exterior of their camp.
Yes.
Very Kandanese, quick, industrious little,
yes, it is,
little really things, aren't they?
Popped up is so very, very quickly, almost overnight.
They're dressed like, I don't know if you've noticed this, they're dressed like Cavendish.
Yes, but like, not quite.
No, pretty much exactly.
Exactly like him.
Well, not, I guess it's a different color.
Yes. I wonder if they're from his era.
One must assume.
One must.
Well, they certainly have his, like, and then Piran, like, with his hands, gestures.
Because he's like cowboy moves.
No, he gestures like rifle, basically.
Yes. Well, I think there's a, with those, I think. This Strahd's army is roughly around about 300-400 men. Hopefully, this will be enough firepower.
Well, they outnumber Strahd's army.
Yes. Yeah. Hopefully, we could.
I think they're Marines specifically.
Work together to stop the invasion coming. I ended up having a conversation with Tarpos. I think that might be a problem.
Well, that was another thing. They wanted the group. Wanted you to talk to Tarpos.
Right. Try and have another conversation with her, but I do not think she's happy with the Kandonese army coming.
Why not?
I don't know. She did not seem to care that Borcher was coming to invade.
Look, I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I understand this is a destiny thing, and yes. You can't change this.
Look, if you want, I'll be completely honest with you. I don't understand truths. I don't get them. I do not understand them.
Same.
They keep saying things about neutrality, about how, well, if it's... I'm for the trees, but also if they get cut down, that's what was always going to happen.
I speak for the rocks.
I don't understand.
I'm a druid.
I'm like, oh, perhaps we should protect the trees. And she's like, I don't care about the trees. I'm trying to meet them on their level. I have no fucking clue.
It's insane.
I do not understand. It seems to be like, oh, it'll either happen or it won't. And that is it. They don't want to interfere until they do. But even then, what are they fighting for?
In a group,
I don't understand. It
is incredible that in a group with a woman who wants me dead and the great General Mandarin, if I had to cut anyone, it would be her. She comes with an army.
Yes, an army that if we say the wrong thing, and often that is might be, I would think, is the right thing, they turn on us. I don't understand.
All I'm saying, you cut her from the group, and Gorob and Lushan leave with her. Piran gives you a big shrug, like, what if?
What if?
I mean, it is a
twofer. They are annoying.
It's a threefer.
But if we do, then would they be against us? And they are very powerful.
My understanding is that she has about 50 fighting druids left.
50 druids?
Yes. Okay. That's not a lot. Don't get me wrong, you know, a druid, especially, I suppose, in the forests of in the Slavic woods, I suppose 50 druids would be worth their weight in gold. I guess.
In an ideal situation, we would try to get all these allies, everyone here, to fight together for a common goal. If that not is fighting Strahd, surely it should be to protect your home.
It's crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy. I have some good news, though.
Yes.
Aside from, you know, Muriel wanting to talk to you, us asking for you, them, I don't really care, them asking you to talk to Tarpos, I do have some good news.
Yes?
I sent out messages to where I could.
Mm-hmm.
Krezik said that they would send 250 soldiers. Valakai said they're going to need to do a head count to see who's alive to send. Kutri will be sending 100 adventurers and 100 guards split down the middle between the Burgermaster, the two co-Burgermasters units.
That's great.
So in addition to the 2,000-ish Kandanese and then whatever Strahd can provide. And then finally, perhaps this is something that you want to do personally as well.
The
I got a message.
Yes.
I wasn't expecting this. I sent a little messenger to Argon Vostholt,
yes,
where the paladins...
The undead paladins.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
And I got a message back. They want to speak to you.
All right. I will speak to them after I speak to Muriel.
And after you speak to Tarpos. Or before. I foresee, yes, many annoying conversations in your future, Hector.
I look at him with wild eyes and be like, Piran, do you realize staying in Barovia, you have developed divination powers?
It just came to me. Quickly, fetch Madam Eva. Tell her her successor is in town.
I will send a raven post haste.
Pip Mandarin,
mm-hmm,
as you head outside with Elaniel to have a tree call with, yeah, Tarpos, the group informs you of what they know about Hector.
What's he done up there?
Who would be the one to break this news to you?
Is it like I ask that and I see everybody take a step backward?
You see an awkward moment between, yeah, most of the group, and then...
It's going to be Krobit. Somehow I know it. Partially because I imagine everyone taking one step backward, but Krobit not knowing that's what's happening and being left in the forefront.
It's Iona, actually.
Okay.
Iona steps forward and she says, Hector has made some deals, yes, with Strahd.
Na, noch keine Pläne fürs Wochenende? Besucht die Rotkäppchen-Erlebniswelt in Freiburg mit euren Mädels, der Oma oder dem Knallertypen von nebenan. Wir lieben alle Jahrgänge. Entdeckt unsere interaktive Ausstellung bei der Erlebnistour mit Audioguide und einem Glas Sekt und genießt im Pavillon die ganze Welt von Rotkäppchen. Die Rotkäppchen-Erlebniswelt, nur eine Sektlänge entfernt.
We do not know the exact nature, but... Rest assured on this, and now obviously you, dear listener, plus Joel and Jackson, mm-hmm, the two of you know better than this, but this is an update that Piran is not aware of, and thus the okay. group is not aware okay. of. Iona continues, he has made some dealings with Strahd, right. but we can rest assured with this at least. Hector has not been bitten.
Okay, well, we know that. We know that much.
But certainly he has been, it would seem, taken under Strahd's wing.
I was afraid of that.
Somewhat.
We don't know the nature of the deals at all.
No, but this deal has allowed some Candanese soldiers to enter into Barovia.
What? Candanese soldiers?
We do not know what any the of the exact natures of this yet, but there is a hole out.
Right.
The Candanese guard it jealously, or have begun construction of earthen works.
Candanese?
We have reason to believe that we should speak to John Cavendish about this.
Yeah.
He might know more.
Of course. Was Hector Candanese?
I don't know if anyone here knows the answer to that question. fucking... Iona looks at Elaniel. Elaniel looks at Keening. Keening looks at Mark Willett. Mark Willett looks at Cribbit.
Just don't pay attention, huh?
He's from that part of the world.
You're actually the only one who would really know that.
He's a knight of the cloth, right? That's that kind of general area.
Maybe, actually, you know what? The person who pipes up, it's Danica.
Yeah.
Danica, who maybe has had a few conversations with Hector, would definitely have found out about this, unless, mm-hmm, Hector, you're trying to keep your origins secret.
KG about your nationality.
I would say Danica would definitely know then. Danica, yeah, says, Hector has told me in the past that he grew up in Candor. I must assume he is Candanese. Certainly he is a knight of the cloth of Candor.
So he made some deal. That's very peculiar.
Iona continues, we, as I said, do not know many of the specifics of this deal.
What the hell?
Piran was only able to furnish us with what he can. Another thing that you must know about Hector is that he has been gravely wounded. There is an incursion of some sort to the north. Invaders from one of the other dark places. They captured Hector as...
I will not use the exact words that Piran said, but Hector, to filter Piran's words, Hector did something stupid.
I'm not surprised.
In service of a Nazir. A noble act, yeah, but it's...
But it's got him in trouble.
He is, this time I know not what words better to use than Piran's, but he has been, quote-unquote, Frankensteined. Piran said you might know better. That you fought such a creature.
Back at the Abbey?
Yes.
That? Okay.
In Kresik.
So, Hector, probably trying to save a life, probably trying to save a cat, finds himself taken...
It was a woman.
Right.
A knight. So a fellow knight of the cloth.
He was taken to another dark realm.
Experimented on.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. And turned into a Frankenstein.
It would appear that part of the nature of Hector's dealings and Strahd's dealings and this new development with the Khandanese is all connected to this invasion.
Okay.
We must mount some sort of defensive operation. Piran is contacting the other towns, Kresik, Kuchery and whatnot, to call forth aid. It would unfortunately appear that our leader, Hector, has decided that Strahd is the devil we know and these invaders are the devil we don't.
Right. Okay.
Oh, actually, Iona, sorry. You know what? Yeah, Iona says Strahd. Hector, when that happens... It's like a little alarm bell goes off in your head.
Hector spends, 3 months with Strahd?
No. He did not spend 3 months with Strahd. He spent about 16 hours with Strahd.
I put my snout in my hand.
He was imprisoned in Bocha to the north for about 3 months.
Okay, and how did he escape? By himself or
I we know? I did tell Piran about your sister.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
I would have given now that I'm thinking about it, if way of contacting that, I would have given Piran, if he could have mentioned that he would have gotten this letter to you. Potentially, I would have given the from my perspective, an unbroken sealed missive from your sister.
Iona, you can see Iona's got a lot on her. There's a lot of emotion in her
face.
Just
say it. Just get it out. Let's get it over and done with, Iona.
Well, yes. So as to who saved Hector, Piran, would you have told Piran much about being saved by Strahd?
Probably. I think, if Piran
is there
asked,
any details? Actually, just let me know. Are there any details that you would not have told Piran?
Probably not.
No? Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Well, Iona explained. Iona says, in addition to this, I'll let Iona probably furnishes you all the details about Gretchen and the werewolves, so you learn about that as well.
The more I learn, at first, when they say Hector's making deals with Strahd, Pip's got one hand on his snout. And then when they say that he's brought the Khandanese in for some reason, another hand on the snout. Then when he's been in Borcha, blah, 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 Gretchen, the werewolves, Pip sort of turns around. I assume we're up against the tree.
Yeah.
And I just, maybe I don't turn around. Maybe I just go head first into the tree, kind of just forehead to bark. Go on.
Iona continues, explains how after you left Hector, he traveled with Rahadin across, kind of dealing with the werewolves, finding out about the Borchan incursion. Probably, I would imagine Piran wouldn't have furnished a lot of detail about this, so Iona just doesn't say much about this. But the time in Borcha, you learn a bit about, Madame Borizzi.
Yeah.
You learn a bit about her and the, huge host that is coming down this way, in addition to Madame Borizzi's, control over, I think someone in the friggin' Discord mentioned it or described it as nature punk, which...
Iona
explains.
Okay, sure.
And and then this is where Hector has been for this longest time. And then, yes, you know, less than 24 hours in Castle Ravenloft, and Hector has decided to align with Strahd against Madame Borizzi. There is one final thing, and I know not...
You aligned with a Gorgash for a little period of time, and no one jumping down your fucking throat.
That was... You know, we had a bigger threat to deal with.
Yeah.
You have effectively the same threat to deal with.
There is one more thing, and I know not how you will receive this information.
It can't be any worse than what you've already told me.
Your sister...
Excuse me? Go on.
Your sister is in Madame Borizzi's employ, unwillingly so.
But she's... remained in Borcha.
She is with the host coming this way, we believe. She had a letter to pass on to you. She saved Hector's life. He owes her a life debt. But that is my reading. Not necessarily Hector. Anyway. She passed the letter to Hector, who passed it to Pirin, and now I pass it to you. She passes you a folded note.
I like.
Oh, Pirin, I like, you gad.
Take it from her as though it's poisonous.
Yeah.
Like, by.
It is dripping.
And then I'd like to unfold it and, like it's about to explode, hold it away from myself.
In what looks like blood.
Is it legible?
It is. It's legible. And my God, if it weren't for the fact that the ink,
yeah,
quotation marks, if it weren't for the fact that the ink has run, it would be a perfect handwriting. A child falls sick with a fever, so their mother calls a doctor, a priest, and a witch to help. The doctor and mother go in, and the doctor gives the child medicine. Then the mother asks the doctor to leave, and is alone with the child. They come out later and say the child still has a fever. Then the mother and the priest go in, and the priest prays over the child. Then the mother asks the priest to leave and is alone with the child. They come out later and say the child still has a fever. Finally, the mother and the witch go in, and the witch rubs a healing poultice on the child. Then the mother asks the witch to leave and is alone with the child. They come out later and say the child is dead. Who killed the child? My dearest brother, I know how you love riddles so. I will explain the answer after you have guessed. Please save me. Your beloved sister.
Crunch, crunch, crunch. Into a ball. Throw it on the ground. Well, I wish I hadn't seen that. Okay, the Candanese. Let's talk to Tarpos. I say, I put my hand on the tree. Well, my forehead's already on the tree, actually.
Elaniel puts her hand on the tree as well, and you feel as your hand is physically on the tree, but then in a moment, in an instant, it feels like you can sense a presence on the other side of the bark.
Mm-hmm.
A hand tentatively reaches out for yours, then stops. You can feel hesitation, and then Tarpos answers.
Hello, Tarpos?
Pip.
You're coming, you've got an army? That's what people are saying.
Bring druids east. Right.
To what end, if I might inquire?
Cleanse stone.
Oh, well, that's good. That's good. I look at Elaniel.
Elaniel, you can see, is gripping the tree tightly. And Elaniel says, you know where the stone is?
Elaniel, you can destroy it after.
No, destroy.
Yes.
Only cleanse.
Cleanse it now, and then when we're done and out of here... You two figure out what you want to do then. That seems like a back burner problem to me. Back of the stove.
They ignore you and begin arguing with each other.
All right.
Okay. Are you, they're just going back and forth at each other. It's not looking like it's getting anywhere conclusive.
I guess, I say, trying to cut through, whoever gets there first. How does that sound?
There's a brief moment. Both of them stop.
Yeah.
And then you can feel both of them are about to pull away. And then you feel Keening put his hand on the tree and he leaps into the conversation. All right. Let's all calm down. Pippi, can you get me a drink?
Yeah, of course. I'd get you a glass of water, or scotch or something.
Scotch would be lovely.
Okay. I disconnect from the tree, put a hand on his shoulder, and then I'm going to head back into the Blue Water Inn.
He, when you put your hand on his shoulder, he brings his other... he maybe does the exact same thing I just did.
Yeah.
When you put your hand on his shoulder, he brings up as if he still had his other hand, realizes, and then grimacing lowers it.
Okay. I head back into the Blue Water Inn and pour him a scotch, but I'm going to take my time because I know I'm not wanted for that conversation.
Sure. Danica on the other side of the bar says, "You were always better one-on-one."
Yeah. Well, I mean, it just doesn't really seem like it matters right now. You know, it seems like there's this order of operations everyone's ignoring. Everybody's rushing to get in first. But you cleanse the lodestone, that it does the same thing. And then once everybody's out, you can destroy it. This is like a separate conflict they've had the whole time.
Pip,
I mean, yeah.
I feel if anyone were to understand this, it matters to them.
Yeah. You're right.
You ignore what they want, and they will ignore what you want.
You're right. You're right. You got to pick. Well, I did, but then it didn't, you know. I picked destroy.
Did you pick? Oh, for the lodestones, I suppose.
Oh, Danny, you bitch.
Pip, there is much of the art of diplomacy you have yet to learn, I suppose. But you claim not to be a diplomat, so I suppose no one can hold that against you.
Yeah.
Did you end up talking to John Cavendish?
No.
Perhaps you should have blown things up after you got to talk.
Yeah, probably you're right, Danny. I was just, you know, I didn't expect...
She pours another glass of wine.
I drink Keening scotch. He didn't really want it. You know, I didn't expect... I thought Hector would make the wrong choice. That to me is unsurprising. I just didn't expect it to happen so quickly.
16 hours is not a long time for him to change sides. But as I have heard people point out, Pip...
Yeah.
You aligned with a Gogash very quickly.
Well, that is true. I didn't see any other way, and I guess Hector's seeing it the same. It just sort of seems like the very next person, the most recent person that comes to him with a problem, and he'll do his best to help them. You got to have some level of discernment between the things that, the people that you're helping. I just
you begin to become aware,
yeah,
that standing behind you is Tiny, completely silently, and Cribbit, who is furiously writing.
Hey, at least I help people.
You're not here. I look at Cribbit and Tiny. You become fast friends, the two of you?
They look at each other, then look at you, and Cribbit leans in, and in a stage whisper, Cribbit says, "I know not what this one's name is."
Oh, it's Tiny.
Tiny.
Yeah, his name's
he
Tiny.
He flips to a new part of the book and starts writing.
Do you want something from me, Tiny?
Oh. Tiny continues to stare at you inscrutably.
Okay. I guess our next step, I say, wearily, is cleansing the lodestone. Because if we've lost Hector, which maybe we have, then that will at least weaken Strahd, but then maybe that
if
means
you
we're gonna have
destroy,
to fight them both. Fucking hell.
You have Eleniel with you now. If you take her, she will destroy the lodestone, which will, of course, infuriate Tarpos.
Yes. But if I align with Tarpos, that will infuriate Elainiel.
It is frustrating that Tarpos is the one whose one is not permanent, but she is the one further away.
Yeah, that's true.
Unfortunately, Pip, I think one of the lessons of diplomacy is that a situation, a compromise that makes both people mad means both people will be mad.
Yeah.
Perhaps sometimes it is better to side with one and then have only one person mad at you.
Yeah. But how do you balance this? With Elainiel, I have a great debt. Possibly the greatest debt. A debt that truly, frankly, I can never make up for. Tarpos has an army.
That is a question of morality versus practicality. And Pip, I mean, you're not much of either.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly. Well, look, let's chat to Cavendish at least. That's something I can do. I step back outside. I'll pour another scotch.
Before you step back outside,
yeah.
Keening steps inside. And he's got like he's very shocked expression.
Mm. There's someone who wants to meet with you.
Noch keine Pläne fürs Wochenende? Besucht die Rotkäppchen-Erlebniswelt in Freiburg mit euren Mädels, der Oma oder dem Knallertypen von nebenan. Wir lieben alle Jahrgänge. Entdeckt unsere interaktive Ausstellung bei der Erlebnistour mit Audioguide und einem Glas Sekt und genießt im Pavillon die ganze Welt von Rotkäppchen. Die Rotkäppchen-Erlebniswelt, nur eine Sektlänge entfernt.